To mark World Press Freedom Day, which is on Sunday, we are very lucky to have Chris with us from Sheffield Indie Media. Thank you very much, Chris, for coming in.
Hi.
To start with, firstly, how and why did Indie Media get started?
Indie Media was born in Seattle in 1999 at the protests against the WTO. In the UK, it started at a May Day protest in 2000. That was the kind of first public event. And it basically came out of protesters and demonstrators wanting to have their view of what was happening in the world and their view and their reports about protests going up line online rather than the reports from the corporate and state media, which are generally very biased against demonstrations and pro-government.
So everyone very much have their own access to sort of deliver information of their own accord.
That's right. They're open access news sites where anyone can upload text, photos, audio, video, and basically make their own media, write their own news.
Are there any challenges for indie media in this digital age, do you think?
There's increasing censorship and increasing repression all around the world. Our experience is that it's more or less impossible to actually host servers with running indie media websites in the UK due to the amount of repression we get from the state.
Your server was recently seized again. Who instigated this?
The last case was it was Kent Police. What happened was there was a mirror of the site running at a co-location facility in Manchester. The main the server to which comments and articles get published is in Seattle.
Okay.
The day after a trial of an animal rights trial at which seven animal rights activists were given very long prison sentences, a SHAC trial, Stop Huntington Life Sciences, a comment was posted on an article to Indie Media that allegedly had the home address of the judge from the trial.
Okay.
This comment was immediately removed. It was actually removed by me. It was immediately removed from the site. Well, no, hang on a minute. It was removed after we got an email alerting us to the fact that there was this comment online and it could lead to the server being seized.
Right.
That was quite a dubious email in itself. The comment was then removed. It was reposted quite shortly. Someone else removed the repost of it, removed the home address. We have a policy of not of removing basically personal details that are posted to the site because we don't want the site to be used to intimidate people and things like that or harass people. It's questionable whether the comment in itself was illegal. I mean, I don't think it was illegal, but it was allegedly the home address of the judge. I mean, I don't know if it was the real one or not. I mean, obviously, we don't know who posted it or where it came from. The comment was posted to a server in Seattle. We then had contact from the Kent Police regarding this comment and asking for the IP address of where it was posted from. We don't have the IP address of where any comments or any articles are posted from. The servers are set up to anonymize the users that posted the site due to the hassle we've had from the authorities in the past. You know, even if we'd wanted to give over that information, we weren't in the position to do so, and we made this clear, and it's been made clear before. It was made clear after the Bristol server was seized a few years ago. The police disregarded this. They appeared to be aware of the fact that the server in Manchester, which was the only one that they were able to get because, you know, due to international boundaries, had nothing to, you know, might never have even been visited by the person that posted the comment.
Okay.
Yet they Kent Police drove to Manchester and basically took without a warrant the server that was in Manchester that had a mirror of the static version of the website that is kind of a read-only version of the website. It gets worse. About a month after that, the person who had the contract at the co-location facility where the server was hosted, who doesn't run any indie media websites, doesn't post any, you know, isn't involved with running the site, was just hosting a number of servers for different community projects. He had his house raided. There's a dawn raid on his house. It's about a dozen or so police spent all morning at his house, going through all his personal possessions, took all the computers from his house, and he hasn't had any of his computers back. He's on police bail at the moment. It's just intimidation. It's basically the police behind the raid appear to be the police behind the animal rights, the shack stuff in Kent. And basically, we don't have any service in the UK anymore. And, you know, our advice would be to anyone wanting to do an independent media project, you know, is host your service in another country, so it makes it harder for the authorities to get hold of them.
Do you think that all this shows that it's a sign that press freedom can only go so far, even in countries that claim to be free, or not?
This case this is talking about was about kind of intimidation of an independent media project. In a way, what's more worrying is the extent to which the media self-censors and follows the line from the authority. I mean, some examples of that, it looks as if the death toll in Iraq might be getting on for 2 million now.
Yeah.
When it came out about it being 1 million, the Orb opinion poll and the Lancet reports, that got hardly any coverage in the media. Another good case was the G20 recently, when after the police murdered Ian Tomlinson, they put out a lot of spin about how he had suffered from a heart attack, how the police were actually protecting him from bottle-throwing protesters, and it was bottle-throwing protesters preventing them trying to save his life, when it's actually them that had basically beaten him to death. And the media ran with that for days. The days they ran the line about it being a heart attack, even though, you know, there was no evidence at that stage that that was the case.
We've talked about World Press Freedom Day, which is coming up on Sunday. What does this day mean to indie media?
I'm not sure if it means anything directly to indie media. I had a brief look at the... It's a UN-sponsored thing, isn't it? I had a brief look on their website last night, and... I don't know. I mean, more press freedom would be good. And, you know, less corporate media and more grassroots media and more kind of more truth, really, because, you know, most of the mainstream corporate media appears to be lies most of the time.
With regards to indie media and censorship and the logistics of indie media, how does indie media choose... I mean, there's the emphasis on local people having an input into news and making it accessible to everyone. But do you have to make a choice sometimes about what you show on the site on indie media, sort of graphic videos? And how do you distinguish between what you're going to show and what you're not going to show? And is this sort of a sense censorship?
Yeah, it does sometimes get referred to as sensitive. I mean, stuff that's removed is kind of racist, sexist, homophobic, any kind of material like that is obviously we just hide. Hidden articles are accessible.
Okay.
They've got a kind of a grey background that makes them hard to read, and they're not linked to from the front page. The same goes for comments. We promote the kind of first-hand grassroots reports, and they show up on the right-hand newswire at www.indymedia, that's indymedia.org.uk, with kind of white boxes to highlight that these are ones we think are especially worth looking at. And then we also have in the middle of the pages on the site, we have what we call features, which are articles that are pulled together by indie media activists that link stories on the newswire. So if there's a protest and a number of articles with photos and video and some text get posted as separate articles on the newswire by different protesters, then often you'll have some indie media editor will pull those together into a feature article that links to all these things, pulls them all together and kind of presents them in a easily accessible way.
Okay. Chris, thank you very much for coming in today. You've been extremely informative. Just finally, how important do you think community radio stations like Sheffield Live are in light of what we've been talking about?
They're potentially very important. I mean, what I'd like to see is a lot more politics, really, and a lot more kind of coverage of the news that you just don't get in the mainstream. Yeah, I should probably listen to Sheffield Live more. I just end up listening to the Today programme on PM and shouting at the radio every day because it does my head in.
It is the best radio station in Sheffield.
I'm sure it is.
And we're all volunteers, so, you know,
That
general will. But thank you very much for coming in. And
okay.
I don't know what you'll be doing on World Press Freedom Day, probably not celebrating. So, but thank you very much. Chris from Indie Media, Sheffield.